our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered to him, we ask you, brothers, not to become easily unsettled or alarmed by some prophecy, report, or letter supposed to have come from us, saying that the day of the Lord has already come. Don't let anyone deceive you in any way, for that day will not come until the rebellion occurs and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the man doomed to destruction. He will oppose and will exalt himself over everything that is called God or is worshipped, so that he sets himself up in God's temple, proclaiming himself to be God. Don't you remember that when I was with you, I used to tell you these things, and now you know what is holding him back, so that he may be revealed at the proper time. For the secret power of lawlessness is already at work, but the one who now holds it back will continue to do so till he is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus will overthrow with the breath of his mouth and destroy by the splendor of his coming. The coming of the lawless one will be in accordance with the work of Satan, displayed in all kinds of counterfeit miracles, signs, and wonders, and in every sort of evil that deceives those who are perishing. They perish because they used to love the truth and so be saved. Sorry, they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. For this reason, God sends them a powerful delusion so that they will believe the lie, and so that all will be condemned who have not believed the truth but have delighted in wickedness. This is the word of the Lord.
The Gospel can be found on page 993 in the Church Bibles, or the large print version, page 1757. Hear the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew, chapter 24, verses 15 to 25.
Glory to you, Lord.
So when you see standing in the holy place the abomination that causes desolation, spoken of through the prophet Daniel, let the reader understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let no one on the roof of his house go down to take anything out of the house. Let no one in the field go back to get his cloak. How dreadful it will be in those days for pregnant women and nursing mothers. Pray that your flight will not take place in winter or on the Sabbath, for then there will be great distress, unequaled from the beginning of the world until now, and never to be equaled again. If those days had not been cut short, no one would survive. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be shortened. At that time, if anyone says to you, "Look, here is the Christ," or "There he is," do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will appear and perform great signs and miracles to deceive even the elect, if that were possible. See, I have told you ahead of the time. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ. As we stand, let's pray. Lord, your purposes seem so enormous, and sometimes we find it hard to understand your words, and so we pray that your word would pour its light into our minds and our lives today. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Please be seated. I plea of you this morning to open your Bibles to 2 Thessalonians, page 1189, simply because this passage from 2 Thessalonians is hard to understand, and I've never actually spoken it ever before, I don't think, by memory. It's hard, it's dense, but there's wonderful truths here. 2 Thessalonians 2, page 1189. The heading in the church's Bibles is not part of the original Greek text. It says, "The man of lawlessness." And that's a good summary about what Paul is writing about here. These verses about the Lord's coming, his advent, and they're helpful as we're warned about the prospect of rebellion. Concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered to him, we ask you, brothers, not to become easily unsettled or alarmed by some prophecy, report, or letter supposed to have come from us saying the day of the Lord has already come. Don't be alarmed. The Lord is coming, is Paul's main point. It's so easy to be quickly unsettled and alarmed when we get our thinking wrong. Do you remember Terry Waite? I remember with a vicar I first worked for as an assistant minister. After his kidnap, we were just thinking about how awful it must be to face what Terry Waite had those many years of captivity. And he said to us over coffee at our staff meeting, he said he wasn't worried about Terry Waite because Terry Waite had a framework for living, a framework in life, a framework even in captivity, and a framework even if he should perish and be killed by his captors. What's a framework like for your living? Have you ever read John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress? Of course, Bunyan himself was imprisoned for a while, and he knew what it was to be captive, but Bunyan puts it very clearly about the dangers of being distracted. He has a character called Christian who is on his way to heaven, to the celestial city. And on his journey, he's accosted by a whole range of people trying to distract him. And one man who tries to distract him is called Demas, somebody who's actually referred to in one of Paul's letters. Demas was somebody who the apostle says fell in love with this world. And what Demas says to the pilgrim is, "Come with me, come and look at my silver mine." And Christian says to Demas, "What thing so deserving as to turn us out of the way?" He knew where he's headed. He wasn't going to get distracted by anything else. We're not to be thrown by other influences. The Christians in Thessalonica were very young. This letter was written 50 AD, and the gospel was only preached in Thessalonica in AD 49. That's when Paul went there with his mission. And how strategic that was. The gospel went from Thessalonica right into Europe. So this letter was written about a year later, after he told them about Christ and they decided to follow him. And the Christians were young. But in a very real sense, it's not just young Christians, but each of us is always vulnerable. There are sources of error which can come. He writes about those in verse 2, about prophecy, report, or letter. Well, 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians pull together the teaching of Christ about his return. And the big point is, Jesus Christ could come today. Notice first, the lesson for us is don't be alarmed, verses 1 to 5, but keep reading God's word. Don't be alarmed, distracted. Keep reading God's word. Literally, The text here means in the Greek, their Thessalonians, their minds were in turmoil. They were rattled by what they heard. And the false teachers were using the Apostle Paul's name, a report of what he said, or a letter which they had made up, purporting to come from him, but not actually from him. And the errors are still the same today. He talks here about a prophecy. There are some who say, the Spirit has told me. And again, down to history, the church is inundated with people who falsely said, the Spirit has told me this or that. And then a report, a rumour. How often rumours distract people. And Paul says, verse 5, don't you remember? Don't you remember what I told you? Don't you remember that when I was with you, I used to tell you these things? And what are those things? Well, he says there's going to be a rebellion, verses 3 and 4, and a man of lawlessness. And those two things have to happen, a rebellion and a man of lawlessness. The man of lawlessness opposes God. And the word in Revelation 1 John, the Antichrist, has the same meaning. And the Antichrist, the lawless one, is the oppressor of God and his people, and says he is God. He defies all human restraints and power. Well, friends, it's not just a figure in the future, though it does seem there's going to be one really big and awful figure at the end of history. But think down history, there's always been those who have been the man of lawlessness. Isaiah 14, verses 13 and 14 talk about the king of Babylon. Ezekiel 28, verse 2, the prince of Tyre who thought he could reach up to God and triumph over him. In 167 BC, the Seleucid king, Antiochus IV Epiphanes, well, he referred to in Daniel's prophecy, quoted in our gospel reading, he tried to do his worst. He marched into Jerusalem, went into the temple, into the Holy of Holies, and sacrificed a pig on the altar, the defiling moment. And then it goes on, there's Pompey, the Roman emperor, who said that he was going to be the triumphant one over everything. Well, he said that in 63 BC, and the next year he died, never did what he threatened. Or Caligula. And then down the years, there have been the Stalins, the Pol Pots, constant men of lawlessness. And yes, verse 7, Paul says, the power of lawlessness is already at work. As John puts it in 1 John 2, verse 18, dear children, this is the last hour, that's between Christ's resurrection and his return, and you have heard that the Antichrist is coming. Even now, many Antichrists have come. This is how we know it is the last hour. Friends, look at history as a telescope, as we're pulling it out. There's always been men of lawlessness, women. There's always been the Antichrist down the years. And Matthew says, because of these figures, quoting Jesus, many will turn away. Friends, we need to trust what we've been told. Don't be alarmed. Keep reading God's word. Second, don't be afraid, verses 6 to 8. Keep trusting in God's sovereignty, that he is the king and ruler of everything. Because God has the power to restrain evil, verse 6. And now you know what is holding him back, so that he may be revealed at a proper time. We don't know exactly what this is. Indeed, Augustine, a great church father, said, I frankly confess I don't quite know what Paul means. But what matters is the man of lawlessness is restrained. And verse 6, the proper time is God's time. Don't be afraid. Keep trusting in God's sovereignty, God's power to restrain evil, and also God's power to defeat evil. Listen again to the Apostle Paul. Verse 8, and then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus will overthrow with the breath of his mouth and destroy by the splendor of his coming. The assault, the last assault made on heaven, the last throw of a dice in our history, and it's blown away, blown over by Jesus Christ. We do wonder, don't we, if God is in control as we look at the mess of history and our lives. He is in charge over our history and our lives. So whatever goes on around us or in the future, keep on trusting. And then finally, don't be deceived. Keep loving God's truth. The coming of a lawless one will be in accordance with the work of Satan, displayed in all kinds of counterfeit miracles and signs and wonders, and every sort of evil that deceives those who are perishing. They perish because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. Friends, counterfeit miracles, signs and wonders, they do happen the whole time. I've once or twice seen things which, frankly, have been staggering supernaturally. I remember somebody who's a witch, and then they got very fearful. And yes, they could do extraordinary things up in North Derbyshire. And then they turned to Christ. And when they came to know Christ, they burnt thousands of pounds worth, literally in the garden, of paraphernalia which they'd used in occult practices. And I refused to go and pray in that house until they'd first taken everything out and destroyed it, because it's all tainted by the evil one. And God blessed that family and restored their life. We shouldn't be deceived. There will be deception coming. John Wesley, who I think was a fantastic person, changed the face of England. He talks about testing the spirits, being cautious. Let me quote him to you. I told them they were not to judge of the spirit whereby anyone spoke, either by appearances or by common report, or by their own inward feelings, no, not by any dreams, visions, or revelations supposed to be made to their souls, any more than by their tears and any involuntary effects wrought in their bodies. I warned them that all these were of themselves of a doubtful and disputable matter, and rather to test everything by the word of God. Wesley knew that. We know that need today as well. We can get it wrong. Martin Luther, that great biblical scholar, that he was caught up thinking about return of Christ. And he was looking at Luke 21. And this is what he said in 1530. It's clear from the scriptures that no more temporal events are left to happen. All things have been fulfilled. The world is cracking on all sides, almost as if it were to break apart in entirety. The last day is near at hand. The word of Christ compels me to say this. And yet, even Luther got it wrong. Don't rush ahead. Make sure you keep loving God's truth. Do you remember the days of King John? Well, you don't remember the days of King John, but if you read your history books, I think England was the most terrible state under King John. The country was grey and groaning by the misrule. And people used to say in his day that God and his angels sleep. Friends, that wasn't the case. It's not the case today. God and his angels don't sleep. Christ is going to return. He holds history. Well, don't be deceived, finally. Keep loving God's truth. Don't be deceived by Satan. And these are somber words, verses 9 and 10. The coming of the Lord will be in accordance with the work of Satan, displaying all kinds of counterfeit miracles, signs and wonders. Yes, don't be deceived by Satan. But then don't be deceived by ourselves either. Because he says at the end, these are complicated verses. He says, they perish because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. For this reason, God sends them a powerful delusion so that they will believe the lie and so that all be condemned who have not believed the truth but have delighted in wickedness. If we refuse the offer of rescue, none of us can stand because God is just. A woman goes into a hairdresser and she says to him, young man, I hope you will do me justice. To which he replies, madam, what you need is not justice, but mercy. And we need mercy as well. I need mercy, you need mercy. So keep loving God's truth. Don't be deceived by Satan or by ourselves. And then sad at the end, God himself, we're told, will confirm it as a mark of his judgment, if we are deceived. And yes, we need to recognise and choose between a cross in the past, which remembers day in his communion service, or judgment on the day of his return in the future. Let's pray. Lord, help us to remember what you've taught us in your word. Help us to measure all new ideas by your truth. And guide us to the end of our lives, we pray. Amen.